Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McKell. Let's start off with some shocking statistics. The American Foundation for the Blind, or AFB, reports that about 70% of the blind are unemployed, and about 55% of visually impaired people are also unemployed. To address these staggering rates in these tough economic times, various organizations are offering employment services. They support the clients in employment preparation and placement. Joining us by phone to talk about how employment services work is Caleb Vandenklein. Vandenklein, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah, hi.
He's the manager of employment services at the Lion Center for the Blind in Oakland, California. Welcome to the show, Caleb.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Glad to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good.
Great.
So, about these staggering high unemployment rates, what do you think are the causes of these high rates?
Sure. Well, there's no one cause that can be identified. You know, there are recent employment figures that came out earlier this month of September that mentioned the overall unemployment rate was edging down. And there's speculation given that a lot of people have given up the search to do so, and thus they're dropping out of the statistics. Additionally, looking back at these stats, over the past 4 years or so, there's been actually a 20% increase of people that are claiming disability. So it seems to suggest that people are using disability in lieu of expired unemployment benefits as those kind of go out. So that's certainly potentially one aspect of it. Beyond the current economy, historically, though, unemployment numbers have always been pretty high for the disabled community. It's something like 67% over the past 40 years. As a matter of fact, the Government Accountability Office, GAO, just put out a report this past July. And what it stated was that people with disabilities frequently lack access to tutoring or counseling, training and assistive technology, or after-school programs are full and impacted, underfunded, and perhaps most importantly, a lot of the government agencies that support people with disabilities, such as Department of Education or Health and Human Services, Labor, SSA, none of those are coordinated or compatible with one another. So, and all this is over and above the anecdotal experience of self-capability and discrimination, which, as we know, in many scenarios are, in essence, impossible to verify, but there's no doubt that that exists, too.
Now, there's also that key word, mm-hmm. discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the blind and visually impaired aren't being hired because of this simple area of discrimination. But there are many, many ways that the blind and visually impaired can combat all this and step up to the plate and actually get a job. What are some of the big steps that blind job seekers can follow in their job search?
Okay. Well, without getting into an anthropologic discussion, discrimination ultimately is an educational issue. It's one where the general population doesn't have a solid understanding or just familiarity of people with disabilities, certainly visual impairment. It's ignorance. And so to combat this, I suggest, and our organization certainly would suggest too, that it needs to start with the self, such as combating one's own perceptions of blindness or ability or disability thereof. From that standpoint, we can each put ourselves into a situation to be educators for those around us, whether it's peers or coworkers or employers or anything like that. And actually, let me share with you a really brief story that kind of highlights this point. I was riding on our local public transit recently with a colleague of mine who happens to be blind, and we're standing up. It's a crowded subway, and a woman very nicely sitting down is certainly wanting to be able to offer her seat to my colleague who's blind, and she looks over at me, and she gets my attention without making any noise or anything, but visually, and then says out loud, "Does she want to sit down?" And a big she didn't ask my colleague simply because she's not programmed, you could say, to think about how do I get somebody's attention without actually doing so in a visual way, because we communicate very visually. So, and my colleague actually responded to the question. She said, you know what, no, I'm totally fine. And my response to that situation was, you know, why don't you ask her? I don't know if she wants to sit down. We didn't talk about that. So having that approach to individuals, whether you're a person with a disability or you're an ally, being able to speak out for yourself or speak up for yourself gives the general population an opportunity to think about their approach and learn from their experience or learn from their mistakes and start to break those concepts of what can somebody do and what can somebody not do.
And definitely self-advocacy is an important skill to have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to show those employers, hey, he's independent, he's got the skills, he can get the job done.
Sure. When, no matter what you do throughout your life, we're all making little judgments about the people that we come into contact with and interact with for whatever reason. And people tend to be naturally empathetic. They want to help one another out. And when there appears to be a semblance of inability or someone who can't do something for themselves, people want to help them and do it for them. And so not reinforcing that, but instead being able to step out and demonstrate a sense of independence or a sense of capability actually allows the world around you to start to react to you as, wow, you're somebody that I actually can learn from or should expect to do things and not plan on doing things for.
Sure. Now, so of course the blind and visually impaired have to gain all the skills and experience to get the job of their dreams.
Uh-huh.
And of course the Lion Center helps out with that.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what the Lion Center does in general and what they do for their employment services.
Sure. Well, the Lion Center itself is a rehabilitation agency, and for years and years, I started back in 2008, and when I started here, we offered some of the core services that include orientation and mobility, braille, computers, assistive technology training, things like that. We now also have an employment program, and the employment services has a range of services just within that umbrella. First and foremost would be what is termed job-related services, and that's a term that's set by the state Department of Rehabilitation out here in California. And job-related services is the track for an individual who is looking to become employed. So the idea is that somebody who engages in that program is already job ready. They have the skills they need, they have the mobility they need, the living skills, all those sorts of things. But they need a little assistance with tightening up their various employment documents. We also have some other services for individuals who are not job ready. These would include what's called personal vocational social adjustment, or PVSA, and that allows us to work one-on-one in a variety of scenarios related to employment, whether it's practicing communication techniques or a more intensive sort of writing and document development situation. We also have the ability to conduct a work adjustment program, which allows us to put an individual into a professional setting where they can spend up to several months practicing actually doing a very specific job in a specific work environment. So one example we have is we had an individual who was interested in working in an administrative capacity, had worked in the past, but it had been a number of years and needed to kind of freshen up her skills as well as learn some of the nuances of what goes into the job now with the updates of technology and all those sorts of things. So what we did is we actually established a relationship with a local doctor's office and had her plug in essentially as an employee there to work underneath the staff that's there and learn how to do the job sort of day to day and get that real hands-on training. And we're also just starting a new program that we're calling New Foundations. This program is geared more for individuals who are on the cutting edge of employability. Maybe they don't have a whole lot of experience, or maybe they're lacking a few key opportunities to practice skills such as how to motivate oneself, or how to advocate for oneself, or how to problem solve, or organize, or analyze difficult situations. So this program is a several week long course that people work with in tandem with other job seekers, and with the support of not only staff here at Lion Center, but also the support of the class in general, they engage in a rigorous program to build their personal development skills. It's a lot of these underlying tasks that apply to any job, regardless of whether you have a disability or not. Everybody needs to be able to go into any job and problem solve the little issues that come up on a day-to-day basis. And so we're looking to attend to a lot of these small pieces that kind of catch people as they're trying to go through the job search process, work on those, and then once they've gotten some practice to apply that into other employment services.
Okay, so there are a few, in fact, phases of the Lion Center employment services process that people do go through. The intake phase, where you first meet with the staff, sign up, then there's the prep phase where they get a little extra practice in resume writing, and then they also go into the placement where the Lion Center actually helps them find the jobs based on the skills they have. There's one nerve-wracking part of the whole job search process, which is dreadful, I'm sure, for a lot of our listeners, and that's the job interview. How does the Lion Center prepare its clients for these interviews?
Okay. Well, let me clarify really quickly something that you mentioned. You talked about an intake and a prep and a placement phase.
Yes.
And that intake, prep, and placement is actually specifically related to one of the services under the employment program, and that's job-related services, i.e. that's somebody who is job-ready. So the prep and placement phase is when somebody is job-ready and they need some of that extra assistance in applying to a job or finding a job. I can speak to the interview practice that you you mentioned. That gets incorporated into the preparation phase. So somebody who is searching for a job and comes to us under employment services, whether it within preparation or occasionally sometimes even a little bit after that when they're working towards applying to jobs themselves, we will research, discuss, set up mock interview scenarios and or practice with other staff or clients, and give people the opportunity to develop their own questions, plan their own answers, and it's all relevant to the type of job that the individual would be applying to. There's, of course, those universal questions that come up in an interview, such as, you know, share a little bit about yourself or provide a demonstration of your abilities or where you're lacking. And, of course, there's also a lot of that concern or fear about the elephant in the room, you know, which is, how do you work with a disability, assuming that it's obvious? So we discuss how to approach those difficult situations, and it's different for each individual. Sometimes it's wise to disclose that in an interview setting, and sometimes it might not be necessary. It's really dependent on the job and the individual.
Sure. And so this info may have just brought a sigh of relief, big sigh of relief, and yes, confidence into our listeners. Now, the Lion Center works with several organizations, as you said, to provide postings, to put clients into some of the job situations that you discussed. So how does the Lion Center work with some of the organizations, and what are some of the big companies you have worked with?
Okay, so as far as organizations go, there's a few methods that we go about attending to. First of all of our employment staff are connected to a variety of listservs that are not necessarily open to the public. They may be open to community service providers such as ours, job networks, or alerts or announcements that go out to organizations such as ours and intended to be presented to clients that are operating within these organizations. And the idea is that businesses don't necessarily all the time want to cast the line out into the great sea and get at whatever bites, but they actually want to speak with people who have already been working with individuals towards employment goals, and certainly individuals who are capable but also can help diversify their ranks. So we've had conversations with a number of businesses in the area, whether they're educational institutions, nonprofits, sometimes small businesses, whether they're some of the bigger ones that some of our clients have started working at have been at the IRS, for instance. That's kind of a federal job. There's stores such as, say, like the Dollar Tree or Lowe's or other hardware stores. It's really based upon individuals' interests. And then, of course, there continues to be further relationships that we're developing with employers both nationally, regionally, statewide, and locally.
What are some of the hot jobs for the blind and visually impaired out there today?
I would actually turn that question back and ask, what jobs do individuals want to do? Because, quite frankly, someone who's blind or visually impaired can do just about anything that they set their mind to. Most of the time, a job can be accommodated for completely in some way. Now, I'm not going to recommend you go out and try and join the NFL or be a truck driver or something like that. Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't recommend that to most people, visually impaired or not. And by the way, truck driving actually might be on the horizon. I don't know if your listeners have heard, but Google has been developing a self-driving car that gets run, instead of a steering wheel, there's a laptop in front. And so through sensors and such, the car essentially guides itself. So we could certainly see on the, 15, 20-year horizon, we could be having discussions about people who are blind, visually impaired being truck drivers or something along those lines. It's not completely unfathomable anymore. But in terms of the types of jobs that our clients might go for or anybody with a visual impairment should go for, I would suggest go after what's hot in the job market, the rising jobs now, because that certainly increases one's chances. And then after that, how do you take what somebody is doing visually and adapt it? Because most of the time it can be adapted. And with advocacy, with support of an organization like ours behind you, there's usually ways to get into the door of any kind of job you want.
On past shows, I've said, go for your dreams as well, correct?
Yeah, I would completely support that.
I hear that some of these organizations, including the Lighthouse, which is one of the greatest blind and visually impaired organizations in San Francisco, and, yes, Northern California, besides Lions, they have companies come to their special events, and they sit at a panel, and they present, and they meet with a bunch of blind and visually impaired job seekers. The Lighthouse last December, before Christmas, brought on recruiters from Google to meet with people about their resumes, critique them, and just sort of, it was a real true meet and greet with free food.
Mm-hmm. And it's always a benefit.
And then, is the Lions Center expecting to plan any of these events in the near future?
Yeah, and you actually hit upon a conversation that has come up in a few venues around here, both within staff and without. So, without speaking in too great a detail right now, simply because we're still developing and building relationships with individuals. We already have in the works plans of developing opportunities for the clients that we're working with to make contact with employers that they would not otherwise have the opportunity to reach out to. And what we're aiming for is something that can be more sustainable, such that once a conversation is started, it can actually develop into a tried and true professional relationship. Whether it includes work or not is certainly an option that could come up. But really what we're wanting for our clients is the opportunity to build a network, because it's through that network that most jobs are attained. It's something like 75 or 80% of jobs are found through networking.
Sure, and definitely meet the people you're going to network with on that site and Facebook and others. Definitely do informational interviews. Go to the companies themselves. Just talk to them. Ask them about their jobs, because they will help you make the connections. And maybe someday they'll email you and say, hey, we got a job for you. You want to apply?
Some of those things that you mentioned, some of those activities are excellent recommendations. And I would add to that that the way that anybody goes about getting a job is about who you know and who you talk to. So the people that are already in your network, and that typically starts with your family, with your friends, with past coworkers, with past students. That, you know, if you were in a class that you have a fellow student who now works for a company, that is an excellent starting point to then develop relationships with people. Hey, you work at so-and-so. Can we all meet, perhaps, and kind of get to know each other a little bit? That's how everybody tends to find work. It's who you know.
Absolutely. And so now, after all of the hard work networking, mm-hmm. and after gathering so many job interviews, the client finally gets the call they've been waiting for. That call saying, you've got the job. And so once they get the job, how does the Lion Center continue to support them?
Sure. We actually do so by offering a variety of assistance in the process. Some individuals who land a job don't actually, they've managed to develop that relationship with the employer, and they've kind of got it all in hand. And so what we'll do is just maintain a simple contact with them as they get set in their job, as they settle into their job. Other individuals and or the employers may want to know, how do we adapt this work site? How do we actually change around our system or adjust our system such that we can accommodate somebody who's visually impaired, because the person before them wasn't visually impaired. So we provide access to tools and technology and resources. And most importantly, we maintain an open dialogue with certainly the individual, the new employee that we're supporting. But also, whenever it's appropriate to do so, we'll maintain an open dialogue with the employer, too, so that everybody has that sense of support. With our program, we've had, since we've been operating with this particular model, everyone that has landed a job continued to work 3 months and beyond in that job. So the support system seems to be working well for them.
Great. Yeah. So Speaking Out for the Blind is a show that airs not only across the country, but of course can be listened to by anyone who has a computer in their world. What are some of the organizations that you know of around the world that offer employment services?
The first place that I would actually probably start is some of the big national industries. And I'm not very well versed in too many international organizations doing employment outside of the U.S. I just haven't had the opportunity to work in an employment capacity outside of the U.S. at this point. But within the U.S., of course, there's ACB, AFB, NFB. Here in California, we have CCB on top of it. These are all agencies that specifically work with blind, visually impaired individuals. And a lot of them have online networks or forums. Matter of fact, it's not a bad place to start when it comes to networking with your own blind or visually impaired community. Start with who's connected with those organizations and who's in your area. So in terms of the world generally, the first place I would go to is these organizations and start to make contact with them. As far as our organization is concerned, I work, as you stated, with Lion Center for the Blind. We're a nonprofit here in Oakland. We were founded by Lions International, which is a Lions club that do exist all over the world. However, that's Lions Clubs International are support agencies that, among other things, help individuals get connected to tools and technology wherever they are in the world. So if there's you have a listener that's outside of U.S. borders or even within the United States themselves, it might be worthwhile to actually make contact with your local Lions clubs. They are everywhere.
Fabulous. Well, Caleb, we're running out of time, but thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
For more information on the Lions Center for the Blind's employment services, call Caleb Vanden-Klein, Manager of Employment Services, at 510-450-1580, extension 262. You may also email him at caleb@lbcenter.org. That's caleb@lbcenter.org.
That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out. ACB Radio.